ॐ नमः श्री ज्योतिराजाय विवेकानंद सूरय सचेत सुख स्वरूपाय स्वामी नेता पहारिने आई बाउ डाउन टू स्वामी विवेकानंद हु इज द किंग अमंग द मंक्स द ग्रेट हीरो अमंग ह्यूमन बीइंग्स who is the embodiment of existence, consciousness, bliss, absolute. And he was born to do good to humanity. We bow down to Swami Vivekananda again and again. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. This summer we started only a book on Swami Vivekananda, name of the title is Swami Vivekananda on himself. As I always say, his life was very short. 39 years, 5 months, 24 days. But his message was very long. He said, it will continue for 1500 years. He was one of the seven sages, incarnation of Naro Rishi Narayan. And Sri Ramakrishna brought him to carry his message. The way Sri Ramakrishna eulogized Swami Vivekananda, I think no guru eulogized his disciple like him. You will find in the Gospel of Ramakrishna how Sri Ramakrishna eulogized him. The name of the chapter. We are reading now in page 26, chapter's name Discipleship. Swamiji's father died, passing through a hard time. His father was a famous attorney, but spent too much money and left nothing. The whole family was hand-to-mouth condition, and Swamiji was struggling. Some of my old friends who earned their livelihood by unfair means asked me to join them. A few among them who had been compelled to follow this dubious way of life by sudden turns of fortune, as in my case, really felt sympathy for me. There were other troubles also. Various temptations came my way. A rich woman sent me an ugly proposal to end my days of penury, which I sternly rejected with scorn. Another woman also made similar overtures to me. I said to her, "You have wasted your life seeking the pleasure of the flesh. The dark shadow of death are before you. Have you done anything to face that? Give up all these filthy desires and remember God." It shows what kind of person Swamiji was. When Swamiji said, "Sister and Brother of America," in the Parliament of Religions in Chicago in 1893, all 5,000 people were almost mesmerized. They got up and clapped. Later somebody asked Swamiji, "Did you do any miracles?" "No." "Then why are they so much inspired?" "From my boyhood, I am pure. There is not a sexual thought came from cross over my mind. My purity overwhelmed them. That's all. I did not do any miracle or magic." Very pure person. When he was in America, many girls wanted to marry him. Do you know what did he answer? Why should I marry? To emancipate myself from earthly ties and attachments so that there is no rebirth for me. The moment I shall die, I shall merge with divine. It is in 1884. He is 21 years old. His marriage proposal came. Sri Ramakrishna went to Mother Kali. Mother, break that marriage. He was offered 10,000 rupees dowry. And the father-in-law wanted to send him to England so that he can be a lawyer, a barrister at that time in the British period. Marriage broke. Now, struggling, sometimes some of his friends are very rich. They used to go to the garden house, Baganbadi. There, the Naj girls will sing and dance and entertain. And seeing his pitiable condition, you know, he was very handsome, but he was very worn out because no food, just starving and all these things. So his friend sent a Naj girl, go entertain him. That Naj girl came and gave him proposal that you can enjoy me. Then what he answered, you have wasted your life seeking the pleasure of the flesh. The dark shadows of death are before you. Have you done anything to face that? Give up all these filthy desires and remember God. That is it. 21 years, young man, handsome, extremely brilliant. In spite of all these troubles, however, I never lost faith in the existence of God or in His divine mercy. Every morning, taking His name, I got up and went out in search of a job. One day my mother overheard me and said bitterly, "Hush, you fool! You have been crying yourself hoarse for God from your childhood, and what has He done for you?" I was stung to the quick. Doubt crossed my mind. Does God really exist? I thought, and if so, does He really hear the fervent prayer of man? Then why is there no response to my passionate appeals? Why is there so much woe in His benign kingdom? Why does Satan rule in the realm of the merciful God? Pandit Ishwarchandra Vidyasagar's words, "If God is good and gracious, why then do millions of people die for want of a few morsels of food at times of famine?" rang in my ears with bitter irony. I was exceedingly annoyed with God. That was also the most opportune moment for doubt to creep into my heart. Struggle. His mother said, "God, God, God, all through your life you are doing this. Look, we have no food at home. We are starving. There is no God." You know, Narada says, you must be careful for some type of people, those who will shake your faith. Avoid those people. They will destroy your devotion. Vidyasagar made a remark once. Do you know what did he say? In one big boat, there is a holy man, there are some women, children, robber, bad, evil people, all are in the ship. The storm sunk the whole ship, all died. The children are not supposed to die. The women, they are innocent people, they should not die. The robbers and bad people, if they die, doesn't matter. So if there is God, why all these people died? That was the question. So Sri Ramakrishna's answer was very nice. Do you know what did Sri Ramakrishna say? "Do you think that this world is the only best place to live in? There are some places better than this world. How do you know where they have gone? Anyhow. Doubt. Religion begins, philosophy begins in several ways. First, religion begins out of sorrow. Dukkham, dukkham. Oof, there's so much suffering, misery. Buddha's philosophy, Shankara philosophy originated from sorrow. Philosophy originates from love for knowledge. Philosophy originates from doubt. Philosophy originates from necessity of life. There are many ways we see religion starts, you know. Doubt. Do you know the cause of the doubt? Well, there are two. There is doubt. Due to darkness, you see somebody is entering the house, you are doubting. You cannot see it. See that person. Who is this? Who is this? Doubt. But in broad daylight, you do not have doubt. You see it. Doubt. Sri Ramakrishna Swami Vivekananda wrote a hymn on Sri Ramakrishna. Samshaya rakshasa nasa masa mahastram yami gurum saranam bhavavaidyam naradeva deva jaya jaya naradeva. O Master, you are born in this age to destroy the greatest demon one can think of. Do you know what is the demon? Doubt. Doubt is the greatest demon. It is easy to kill a man, but it is extremely difficult to kill that person's doubt. So Sri Ramakrishna was born in this age to destroy the doubt of human beings. I sometimes tell people, when you read the Gospel of Ramakrishna and the Divine Play, it is hard to disbelieve God. Shh, God exists. See, Ramakrishna is talking to God. It was ever against my nature to do anything secretly. On the contrary, it was a habit with me from my boyhood not to hide even my thoughts from others through fear or anything else. So it was quite natural for me now to proceed to prove to the world that God was a myth, or that even if he existed, to call upon him was fruitless. Soon the report gained currency that I was an atheist and did not scruple to drink or even frequent houses of ill fame. This unmerited calumny hardened my heart still more. I openly declared that in this miserable world there is nothing reprehensible in a man who, seeking for a brief respite, should resort to anything. Not only that, but that if I was once convinced of the efficacy of such a course, I should not, through fear of anybody, shrink from following it. Swamiji was a hero. Extremely truthful. Passion for truth. He went to, in Calcutta, there is a Charles House hotel. He ate some fowl curry, chicken. Came to Dakshineshwar, "Sir, don't touch me today. I ate chicken." This person does not hide anything, because he's inside, outside, same. We cannot, our mind and the speech are not the same. Whatever we think, that we cannot speak. Oh my goodness. Buddha says three kinds of people love secrecy. First, thief, police, and prostitute. They need secrecy. Otherwise, they cannot do their business. Buddha says, in my religion, there is no secrecy. It is just like broad daylight. There is nothing to hide in my religion. There is no kind of they call it secret things, you know, then there is nothing. This afternoon when I was reading this chapter, a funny story came to my mind. Girish Ghosh, you remember the Bohemian devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. There was a neighbor Muslim family, their chicken would come to Girish's property, Girish would kill those chicken and eat them. So the Muslim sued Girish, Girish went to the court. He put on Namaboli, Hare Krishna, you see those marks in there? And put a mark here, Vaishnava mark, you know, like this way. And put it this way and went to the court. Judge asked the question, and his lawyer was there. Judge asked the question, "Hello, did you kill this person's chicken and all these things?" "Oof, Radhe Shyam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." He put his two ears in his two fingers in his ears and started to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. He started to chant. Then the gracious lawyer says, "My honor, my client is such a devout Vaishnava, even he cannot hear the name of meat and fish. He is such a non-vegetarian. He is such a vegetarian. He cannot hear it. So he puts his finger in his ear." The judge dismissed the case. Then Girish came out and told that Muslim, "I shall eat more." he was so funny, quite a character. That is Girish. Those who are moral, ethical, and truthful, they are always fearless. They are completely fearless. A garbled report of the matter soon reached the ears of the master and his devotees in Calcutta. Some of these came to me for first-hand knowledge of the situation and hinted that they believed some of the rumors at least. A sense of wounded pride filled my heart on finding that they could think me so low. In an exasperated mood, I gave them to understand plainly that it was cowardice to believe in God through fear of hell, and argued with them as to his existence or non-existence, quoting several Western philosophers in support. He quoted Hume, Bain, Mill, and Comte. The result was that they took leave of me, convinced that I was hopelessly lost, and I was glad. When I thought that perhaps Sri Ramakrishna also would believe that, I was deeply wounded at heart. "Never mind," I said to myself, "if the good or bad opinion of a man rests upon such flimsy foundations, I don't care." And I was amazed to hear later that the master had at first received the report coldly, without expressing an opinion one day or the other. But when one of his favorite disciples, Bhavanath, said to him with tears in his eyes, "Sir, I could not even dream that Narendra could stoop so low," he was furious and said, "Hush, you fool, the master mother has told me that it can never be so. I shan't be able to look at you if you speak to me like that again." Guru Kripa, the grace of the Guru. Bhavana says, "Shala, nonsense, get out from this place, I shall not see your face. Will never fall. Mother showed me." "Shh, letur mukh dekhbo na, I shall never see your face if you tell against Naren again." One man, his name was Pranakrishna Mukhopadhyay, Ramakrishna's devotee. He once criticized Swamiji. But I shall never see your face. Shiva Ninda. You criticize Shiva. He is embodying, he is the incarnation of Shiva. I shall never see your face. Don't come here again. He came and apologized to Sri Ramakrishna. Are with sprinkle Ganges water there. That man's standing there criticized Narendra. Sprinkle Ganges water there. Thakur had so much faith and love for the disciple. Garbled. Kotha kane hate. There is a famous saying, gossip. If you are interested, you can read the gossip and by Ann Landers, the power of gossip. Oof. It can ruin people's life. And gossip spreads faster than the gospel. And the rumor has 1,000 tongues. This Bhavanath was Swamiji's classmate. Yes. Sri Ramakrishna dismissed. No, I don't believe it. But notwithstanding these forced atheistic views, the vivid memory of the divine visions I had experienced since my boyhood, and especially since my contact with Sri Ramakrishna, would lead me to think that God must exist and there must be some way to realize Him. Otherwise, life would be meaningless. In the minds of all these troubles and tribulations, I must find that way. Days passed and the mind continued to waver between doubt and certainty. My pecuniary needs also remained just the same. You know, I tell you one thing. A little bit of spiritual experience. Those are the milestones of the spiritual journey. Suppose you have a deep meditation, perhaps you have a glimpse of the face of the Master, or you have seen some light or something. Those are the landmarks that you are in the right direction, you are on the right track. That is the way spiritual life goes. Sometimes if you have a wonderful dream or a beautiful experience, write down in your journal. When the dark night of the soul, when this doubt and all these things creep in your mind, at that time open the diary. Then you will get back again your faith, your experience. This is the way one should start the spiritual journey. You know, I have the visions. Every night I go to bed, I see a light between eyebrows and I go and I sleep in the domain of light. I have so many visions. This cannot be untrue. You see, as I told you, scripture can be counteracted by the scripture. Reason may be counteracted by reason, but experience cannot be counteracted by anything. Experience remains the same. As I say, sugar tastes sweet. If I say sugar tastes sour or bitter, will you take my words? No. I have tasted sugar. It's sweet. It is sweet. I shall not take your words. You may be a rishi. It doesn't matter. My experience. Experience is the most important thing in a spiritual life, in Vedantic tradition. Experience. But at the same time, there are some false prophets out there. Oh, Swami, somebody was telling me, I have a little shamadhi. I tell him, acha, very good, very good. I generally don't disturb anybody's faith. I tell him, that's good. But that person's character is very bad. Immoral. And he is telling me that I am having shamadhi. How can I accept that person's words? It does not go that way. The summer was over and the rain set in. The search for a job was still on. One evening after a whole day fast and exposure to rain, I was returning home with tired limbs and jaded mind. Overpowered with exhaustion and unable to move a step forward, I sank down on the outer plinth of a house by the roadside. He fainted. No food inside, in the stomach. Soaked in rain, tired. In Calcutta area, there are some rich people, they have an extension of the veranda over the sidewalk. That means that person is very rich. And some people take shelter there. And there is some extension veranda, so he was soaked, he just was there and by the sidewalk fainted. You see, you can recognize your friend when you are in bad time. At the time of festivity, Utshave Bashane, at the time of your good time, Durvikshe, at the time of famine, at the time of war, at the time when you are arrested in the court, or when somebody dies in your family, if a person comes and stands beside you, that person is your friend. When you have a very bad time, that is the time you can recognize who is your true friend. I can't say whether I was insensible for a time or not. Various thoughts crowded in on my mind, and I was too weak to drive them off and fix my attention on anything in particular. Suddenly I felt as if by some divine power, the coverings of my soul were being removed one after another. All my former doubts regarding the coexistence of divine justice and mercy and the presence of misery in the creation of blissful providence were automatically solved. By a deep introspection, I found the meaning of it all and was satisfied. As I proceeded homewards, I found there was no trace of fatigue in the body, and the mind was refreshed with wonderful strength and peace. The night was well nigh over. You see, this is the power of the Atman. They call it Atma Shakti. When physical effort fails, mental, intellectual effort fail, then spiritual power rises. And when you have that spirit within, you feel it, then do you know what happens? You will find that you will get tremendous strength inside. That happens. He felt that the Atman awakened and all the sheaths of the soul are cleared up. And then he got up, got new strength and went home. This happened to Swamiji many times in the Himalayas. I shall be never make it, make it, make it. Then from inside says, I am the Atman. I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the senses. Immediately the spirit comes and he moves on. Thenceforth I became deaf to the praise and or blame of worldly people. I was convinced that I was not born like ordinary people to earn money and maintain family, much less strive for sense pleasures. I began secretly to prepare myself to renounce the world like my grandfather. I fixed a day for the purpose and was glad to hear that the master was to come to Calcutta that very day. It is lucky, I thought, I shall leave the world with the blessing of my guru. As soon as I met the master, he pressed me hard to spend that night with him at Dakshineswar. I made various excuses, but to no purpose. I had to accompany him. There was not much talk in the carriage. Reaching Dakshineswar, I was seated for some time in his room along with others when he went into a trance. Presently, he drew near me and, touching me with great tenderness, began to sing a song with tears in his eyes. কথা কহিতে জরাই না কহিতে জরাই আমার মনে সন্দ হয় বুঝি তোমায় হারাই হারাই I am afraid to speak, and I am afraid not to speak. The doubt arises in my mind, lest I should lose you. Ah, my Rai, lest I should lose you. It is a Vaishnava Padavali. That Rai means Radha. Krishna is telling, oh Radha, I may lose you. That is happening. Swamiji, Sri Ramakrishna knows everything what is in others' mind. So he knew everything. He says, don't run away. I want to be a monk. I am destined to be a monk. It was written in my horoscope. My family hid that horoscope so that I may not say it. I had suppressed my feelings for so long, but now they overflowed in tears. The meaning of the master singing the song was apparent. He knew of my intentions. The audience marveled at this exchange of feeling between us. When the master regained his normal mood, some of them asked him the reason for it. He replied with a smile, "Oh, it was something between him and me." Then at night, he dismissed the others and calling me to his side and said, "I know you have come for the mother's work and won't be able to live a worldly life, but for my sake, stay in the world as long as I live." Saying this, he burst into tears again. The next day, with his permission, I returned home. A thousand thoughts about the maintenance of the family assailed me. I began to look about again for a living by working in an attorney's office and translating a few books. I got just enough to live on from hand to mouth, not permanent. There is no fixed income to maintain my mother and brothers. He is a graduate, intelligent, no job. It is all Ramakrishna's play. I want you to suffer so that you can understand other sufferings in this world. If you want to be a great teacher, you must understand others' sufferings. Again, he translated Herbert Spencer's education book into Bengali. He wrote an introduction of a music book. Brilliant man. One day the idea struck me that God listened to Sri Ramakrishna's prayers. So why should I not ask him to pray for me for the removal of my pecuniary needs? If favor of the master would never deny me, I hurried to Dakshineshwar and insisted on his making the appeal on my behalf of my starving family. He said, "My boy, I can't make such demands, but why don't you go and ask the mother yourself? All your sufferings are due to your disregard of her." I said, "I don't know the mother. You please speak to her on my behalf. You must." He replied tenderly, "My dear boy, I have done so again and again, but you do not accept her, so she does not grant my prayer. All right, it is Tuesday. Go to the Kali temple tonight. Prostrate yourself before the mother and ask of her any boon you like. It shall be granted. She is knowledge absolute, the inscrutable power of Brahman. By her mere will, she has given birth to this world. Everything is in his power to give." I believed every word and eagerly waited for the night. About 9 o'clock, the master asked me to go to the temple. As I went, I was filled with divine intoxication. My feet were unsteady. My heart was leaping in anticipation of the joy of beholding the living goddess and hearing her words. I was full of the idea. Reaching the temple, as I cast my eyes on the image, I actually found that the Divine Mother was living and conscious, the perennial fountain of divine love and beauty. I was caught in a surging wave of devotion and love. In an ecstasy of joy, I prostrated myself again and again before the Mother and prayed, "Mother, give me discrimination, give me renunciation, give me knowledge and devotion. Grant that I may have the uninterrupted vision of Thee. A serene peace reigned in my soul. The world was forgotten. Only the Divine Mother shone within my heart." What happened? There's a tremendous drama behind this incident episode of Swamiji. Do you know why? He was a Brahmo. He did not believe God with form. Especially hated Hindu gods and goddesses. They're idols, lifeless, no good. That Vivekananda was changed. As I told you, he did not believe in Shakarvad, God with form. He did not believe Guruvad, Guru, business. He did not believe Avatarvad, that God is born as an avatar. He did not believe Advaitavad, non-dualism. He did not believe in Janmantravad, reincarnation. These things are taboo in Brahmo Samaj. So what happened? This man came when he asked Thakur that you know, mother listens to your prayer, why don't you do for me? You love me. Thakur said, I prayed mother, mother says he doesn't believe in me, so I cannot do anything for him. I gave a talk in last February in Calcutta. They are publishing now their talk. I was talking about Swami Gombhirananda-ji. I was talking about that who obeys the rules of the order, the good sadhus. I said, he was the general secretary, that you know, you must follow the rules and regulations of the monastic order if you want to be a monk. Then he told a funny story. One Kabliwala, a man from Afghanistan, they do not bathe, you know, they smell terrible. And, you know, they sell dry fruits and they sometimes invest money to the poor people and take interest. And this Kabliwala went to Shiva temple, put his two legs on Shiva's head and was sleeping. And a Hindu also entered the Shiva temple. Accidentally, his foot touched the Shiva lingam and he bowed down to Shiva. But Shiva got up and took the trident and about to attack the Hindu. Then this Hindu said, Lord, accidentally my foot touched your image, I bowed down, but this Kabliwala puts his 2 feet on your head and you're sleeping and you are not taking any action against him. Then Lord Shiva said, he doesn't believe in me. So I cannot take any action, but you love me, you believe in me, so I shall take action against you. That is a funny story Swami told me. Anyhow, so what did Swamiji ask? 5 things he asked. Ma, gyan dao, knowledge, bhakti dao, devotion, vivek dao, discrimination, vairagya dao, renunciation, abad darshan dao, uninterrupted vision. These are the 5 things I want from you. Failed, Vivekananda came back. As soon as I returned, the master asked me, if I had prayed to the mother for the removal of worldly needs, could you imagine that Divine Mother, whatever, Sri Ramakrishna, everything comes from here, truth. Whatever you will ask from my mother, you will get it. It is just like to have a jackpot, you know, lottery. The master asked me if I had prayed to the mother for the removal of my worldly needs. I was startled at this question and said, no sir, I forgot all about it, but is there any remedy now? Go again, said he, and tell her about your needs. I again set out for the temple, but at the sight of the mother again forgot my mission, bowed to her repeatedly and prayed only for love and devotion. The master asked me if I had done it the second time. I told him what had happened. He said, how thoughtless. Couldn't you restrain yourself enough to say those few words? Well, try once more and make that prayer to her. Quick! I went for the third time, but on entering the temple, a terrible shame overpowered me. I thought, what a trifle I have come to pray to the mother about. It is like asking a gracious king for a few vegetables. What a fool I am. In shame and remorse, I bowed to her respectfully and said, Mother, I want nothing but knowledge and devotion. Coming out of the temple, I understood that all this was due to the Master's will. Without otherwise, how could I fail in my object no less than three times? I came to him and said, Sir, it is you who have cast a charm over my mind and made me forgetful. And now please grant me the boon that my people at home may no longer suffer the pinch of proper poverty. He said, such a prayer never comes to my lips. I asked you to pray for yourself, but you couldn't do it. It seems that you are not destined to enjoy worldly happiness. Well, I can't help it. But I would not let him go. I insisted on his granting that prayer. At last he said, all right, your people at home will never be in want of plain food and clothing. Mota bhat, mota kapurer, abhav hobe na. Your family will never suffer from plain food and plain clothing. That is Ramakrishna's blessing. There is a tremendous drama behind this, you know. Sri Ramakrishna, Swamiji used to say, Sri Ramakrishna could take human mind and then squeeze it. And he can give any shape he likes. A lump of clay or a dough, you can squeeze and can give shape. Sri Ramakrishna could do that thing with human mind. Sir, you did it. Swamiji told a funny story in Thousand Island Park. A man got three boons from the Divine Mother. Whatever you want, you will get it. So he got the three boons, went home. His wife said, first boon, ask money. The husband said, you know, your nose, it does not look good. My nose also do not look good. Let us ask good noses from the mother first. So, they prayed, O Lord, give us good noses. What happened? Their whole body was full of noses. In the chest, breast, back, hand, feet, everywhere, nose.
But good noses.
Good noses. Then, wife says, I asked you, you stupid, I asked you first money, and you asked noses. Now what shall we do? You know, first let us get rid of the noses. First, let us put the second one. Lord, take away all these noses. So all noses are gone and the original one was also gone. The original one also is gone, so they have no nose. They become more ugly. Two boons are gone. Only third boon was left. But wife said, ask money! At that time, of course, there was no surgery, perhaps they can pull your false nose. Ask money. But then, no. You know, people will think that we are stupid, that we got three chances and we couldn't make it. So let us pray, Lord, give us our that original nose. So all three boons failed, you see. Swamiji told this funny story. Some people ask boon, you know. Sri Ramakrishna gave us a chance three times failed. One time fails, I understand, three times failed. How many times he prayed to the Divine Mother for my sake and my father's death, when I had no food at home and my mother and sisters and brothers are starving too. The Master prayed to the Divine Mother to give me money, but I did not get any money. The Master told me that Divine Mother had said to him, he will get simple food and clothing. He will eat rice and dal. That is, Jagannath Thakur says, Bapu, dal bhat hove. Only dal and bhat you will get here. Don't expect too luxury or gourmet food, you know, plain food. Do you know what? One of the greatest obstacles in spiritual life is comfort. The moment yogis hate comfort, the moment comfort comes, your growth will stop. A little austerity is very good in spiritual life. He loved me so much, but whenever an impure idea crept into my mind, he at once knew about it. While going around with Ananda, sometimes I found myself in the company of evil people. On those occasions, the master could not eat any food from my hands. He could raise his hand only a little and could not bring it to his mouth. On one such occasion, while he was ill, he brought his hand very close to his mouth, but it did not go in. He said to me, "You are not yet ready." Sri Ramakrishna was the embodiment of purity. Sri Ramakrishna was the only person who, ever since he met me, believed in me uniformly throughout. Even my mother and brothers did not do so. It was his unflinching trust in me and love that bound me to him forever. He alone knew how to love another. Worldly people only make a show of love for selfish ends. Love. Somebody asked Swamiji, "Tell me about Ramakrishna." Ramakrishna, L-O-V-E personified. That is Ramakrishna. Love. How I used to hate Kali and all Mahar ways, that was the ground of my 6 years fight, that I would not accept her. But I had to accept her at last. Ramakrishna Paramahansa dedicated me to her. This is, Swamiji is talking to Sister Nivedita. To her. And now I believe that she guides me in every little thing I do and does with me what she will. Yet I fought so long. I loved him. You see, and that was what held me. I saw his marvelous purity. I felt his wonderful love. His greatness had not dawned on me then. All that came afterwards when I had given in. At that time I thought him a brain-sick baby. All his seeing visions and the rest. I hated it. And then I too had to accept her. Now, the thing that Nivedita was asking, how did it happen? Then Swamiji is answering. No, the thing that made me do it is a secret that will die with me. I had great misfortune at that time. It was an opportunity. She make me a slave of me. Mane, taking the chance of my poverty, Mother Kali made me her slave. Those are the few words, a slave of you. And Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa made me over to her. Strange. He lived only 2 years after doing that. And most of the time he was suffering. Not more than 6 months did he keep his own health and brightness. Let none regret that they were difficult to convince. I fought my master for 6 years, and with the result that I know every inch of the way. Every inch of the way. This Swamiji said to Sister Nivedita. Ramakrishna dedicated me to the mother. All power comes from the mother. Towards the end, Swamiji said to Joginma, "Beti hath chhede diyeche." The Divine Mother holding my hand did all these activities. Now she would do my hand. I shall not live long. He don't say that, Naren. We are old ladies, we are supposed to die, you are young. No, I do not see her anymore. She would do herself. My mission is over, my work is over, I will have to depart from this world very soon. That's what Swamiji said. Swamiji is very truthful. He exposed his heart, told that I really did not care for these Hindu gods and goddesses. But Sri Ramakrishna's grace, do you know why Sri Ramakrishna did these things for him? You will have to understand. This man has tremendous power. And if you want to carry Ramakrishna's message, you will have to believe what Ramakrishna believed. Ramakrishna believed God has form, and again God is without form. And this man does not want to believe God with form. So he cannot carry my message. He told, four blind people went to touch the elephant. One touched the belly, say elephant is just like a water barrel. Another touched the ear of the elephant. Oh, elephant is just like a winnowing fan. Another touched the leg of the elephant. Elephant is just like a pillar. All people touch the different parts of the elephant, have different experience. They did not see the whole elephant. If you see the whole elephant, you cannot form any sect. Sri Ramakrishna showed Swamiji whole elephant, whole thing, so that he will be able to see the whole humanity. Some are dualists, some are non-dualists. That is Ramakrishna's religion, all-inclusive. Why is Sri Ramakrishna working with Swamiji this way? You see, my devotion is the dog's devotion. I have been wrong so often and he has always been right, and now I trust his judgment blindly. Guru ka dwar mein kutta ka maafik pada raho. Stay in the gate of door of your guru like a faithful dog. A dog knows that my master will give me food. Now or sometimes later, I will be fed. The master may beat the dog never leaves the master. Shampuku, 27th October 1885. We think of Sri Ramakrishna as a person who is like God. Do you know what is it like? What it is like? There is a point between the vegetable creation and the anti-animal creation where it is very difficult to determine whether a particular thing is a vegetable or an animal. Likewise, there is a stage between the man world and the God world, where it is extremely hard to say whether a man is a man or God. I don't say that he is God. What I am saying is that he is a God-like man. We offer worship to him, bordering on divine worship. Swamiji is arguing with Dr. Mahendralal Sarkar, who was a scientist, who did not believe in all these God and the Hindu systems. Romarola compares Sri Ramakrishna's life with Jacob's ladder. The ladder is so long that one side is the heaven, another side is the earth. So, holding that ladder, you can stay in this world or you can go to heaven. So heaven and world, both you can go back and forth. That is Ramakrishna's life. If you want to be a good householder, family life, hold on Ramakrishna. If you want an ideal monk, hold Ramakrishna. He is in both ways, you know, he's teaching his work. Oh, he was talking that you are spoiling this good man, you are taking him that he is God. Well, it is not God, but God-like man, you know. That is the way Swamiji was talking. And later on he declared, Avatar Avarishthaya Ramakrishna Yate Nama. I bow down to Ramakrishna, who is an avatar. Kashipur, 4th January 1886. I have been thinking of going there to Dakshineshwar today. I intend to light a fire under the bell tree and meditate. I shall feel greatly relieved if I find a medicine that will make me forget all I have studied. Hey. The man who came to Dakshineshwar in 1881-82 and telling Sri Ramakrishna, sir, you are illiterate, what do you know? I read Eastern, Western, all thoughts I know. Sri Ramakrishna, all right, Babu, it is a nice garden house, come here. I do not come here to listen to you. You have not studied anything. All right, all right. That Vivekananda is now seeking from Ramakrishna, 4th of January. Sir, could you give me a little medicine so that I may forget what I have learned. It just reminds me of Zen story. A Zen master, some students came to the Zen masters. A student came. Sit down, have some tea. So he put a cup in front of the student and he is pouring tea from the teapot. And the tea is overflowing on the table, on the floor, everywhere. But he went on pouring. The student says, "Sir, what are you doing? It is already full. And you are pouring more." The Zen master said, "That is the answer. Your mind is full. I cannot teach anything there. All ideas are jumping inside you. First empty the mind, then my teaching will work." That is the Zen teaching. Zen bones, Zen flesh. There's all kinds of books. I read that book. I have a copy. One of our Chinese devotees gave to me. Zen masters. Our minds are full of ideas, so no new ideas can get in. So he is giving the teaching that way. This cup, tea is over. What I mean, tea is overflowing. We are pouring tea. Kashipur, 4th January 1886. I was meditating here last Saturday. He was talking to him. When suddenly I felt a peculiar sensation in my heart. Probably it was the awakening of the Kundalini. I clearly perceived the Ida and the Pingala nerves. I asked Hazra to feel my chest. Yesterday I saw Sri Ramakrishna upstairs and told him about it. I said to him, all the others have had their realization. Please give me some. All have succeeded. Shall I alone remain unsatisfied? He said, why don't you settle your family affairs first and then come to me? You will get everything. What do you want? I replied, it is my desire to remain absorbed in samadhi continually for 3 or 4 days, only once in a while coming down to the sense plane to eat a little food. Thereupon he said to me, you are a very small-minded person. There is a state higher even than that. All that exists are thou. It is tumse hamne dil ko lagaya jo kuch hai so tu hi hai. That song. It is you who sing that song. Settle your family affairs and then come to me. You will attain a state higher than samadhi. I went home this morning. My people scolded me saying, why do you wander about like a vagabond? Your law examination is near at hand and you are not paying any attention to your studies. You wander about aimlessly. Question, did your mother say anything? No, she was very eager to feed me. She gave me venison. I ate a little, though I did not feel like eating meat. These are the conversation going on between aim and Swami Vivekananda. Awakening of Kundalini. He went to the Calcutta University to fill up the forms for final law examination. Do you know what happened? He ran from the university, came to Kashipur. What am I doing? Sir, I want samadhi. I want Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Then Thakur said all these things. Wait. No. If I die tomorrow, I want today. Then Swami Thakur said, you will get tomorrow. And next day he had Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Whatever Master says, that thing happens. I shall finish only this much. I went to my study at my grandmother's. As I tried to read, I was seized with great fear. As he was studying very terrible thing. My heart struggled within me. I burst into tears. I never wept so bitterly in my life. I left my books and ran away. I ran along the streets. My shoes slipped from my feet. I don't know where. I ran past a haystack and got hay all over me. I kept on running along the road to Kashipur. Since reading the Bibi Kuchudamani, I have felt very much depressed. In it, Shankaracharya says that only through great tapasya and good fortune does one acquire these three things: a human birth, a desire for liberation, and a refuge with a great soul. I said to myself, I have surely gained all these three as a result of great tapasya. I have been born human being through great tapasya. Again, I have the desire for liberation, and through great tapasya, I have secured the companionship of my great soul, of such a great soul. I have no more taste for the world. I do not relish the company of those who live in the world, of course, with the exception of one or two devotees. That is the main thing. In spiritual life, what do we need? Vyakulata, hunger for God, yearning, longing for God. That is the only thing that is needful. Shankaracharya mentioned in Viveka Chudamani, I think it is verse 3. Durlabham trayame vaitat. These three things are rare. Devanugraha etugam, manushyatta mumukshutra mahapurusha sankshaya. Manushyattam, human birth, very precious. Mumukshuttam, burning desire for liberation, and Mahapurusha Sangsara, the company of a great soul. I have all these three. I am a human being, I have desire for liberation, I have the company of Sri Ramakrishna. What else do I need? By God's grace, I have all these three. Up to this tonight.